Members, the Secondary Education and Career Development Subcommittee will come to order. For the record, please remember to turn your microphones on for the roll call. Missy, will you call the roll, please?
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Schoaf.
Here.
Ranking Member Bush.
Here.
Representative Andrade.
Here.
Representative Benjamin.
Here.
Representative Barrera.
Here.
Representative Fisher.
Here.
Representative Gio Lombardo.
Here.
Representative Harding.
Here.
Representative Maggard.
Here.
Representative Manning.
Here.
Representative Onfroy.
Here.
Representative Rizzo.
Here.
Representative Robinson is excused. Representative Tupp.
Here.
Representative Valdez.
Present.
Representative Woodson.
Yeah.
Representative Yarborough.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, members. Let the record show that a quorum is present. Please remember to silence all your electronic devices, be recognized by the chair before addressing the committee or the presenters, and make sure your microphones are on after you've been recognized and when voting on a bill. In order to abide by our COVID guidelines, please remember to keep your face mask on at all times when speaking at the podium. This applies to members of the public and members of the committee as well. Please show CS for House Bill 1009 will be temporarily postponed. Members, the first bill that we'll take up this morning will be PCS for HB 469 by Chair Drake, Required Student Instruction on Voting. Chairman Drake, you're recognized to explain PCS for HB 469.
Testing. Good. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to read this bill in its entirety. It's very short, but I want to make sure everyone understands what we're trying to accomplish. It's one sentence. It says, the character development curriculum for grades 11 and 12 shall include instruction on voting using the uniform primary and general election ballot described in section 101.151(9). That's it in its entirety. So here is my interest. Every bill that we consider in this legislative process that runs through committee has an origination point. Either a constituent gives it to us out there on the trail when they're talking about how they want us to go over to Tallahassee and make changes to the laws, or either an advocacy group shares an idea with you, or an industry agent shares an idea with you. And then here are the ones that are most special, the ones that you develop on your own, the one that you're sitting on your couch eating last night's leftover barbecue, eating Doritos on a Saturday afternoon, watching the football game, and you think, hey, you know what? I've got an idea. This is what we should do. Well, that's kind of what I did. I thought about this after some of the elections had closed out, and there were places where folks were doing manual recounts, and I had participated in an official manual recount one time that is totally established the rules and procedures and guidelines of how those take place are dictated in statute. So there are people that represent both sides of these recounts, and I just happened to be an observer on one side. But it was very interesting, and it was very educating, very educational in how that worked, and that it was such a perfect process and where everyone got to participate, be an observer of these ballots. But here's what I took from that, and here's what I remember from that, is that it was surprisingly enough that a lot of the votes that were tabulated, whether it was Republican, whether it was Democrat or Libertarian or from a Green Party or some other party, that oftentimes there were people that voted differently. And sometimes you could distinguish what their intent was, and sometimes you could not. So the ballot style that we use as prescribed in the statutes are the oval ballot styles. But some people still, for whatever reason or not, they're not accustomed to voting, so they might circle someone's name, they might put a check mark by someone's name, or they may circle the oval, or they may tabulate the oval correctly, and then go back and cross out, and then do some circling. So there's all these things that could happen. And so what I thought is that, hey, to establish some clarity for all of us, because we want to get the election right. We want to make sure it's right, whether it comes out in our favor or not. Well, if we're on the ballot, we hope it comes out in our favor, right? But regardless, we want to make sure that the process is clean and it's pure, and at the end of the day, the right result is what was developed. So I think that if we start this practice at an early level, at the high school level, with our kids and say, hey, listen, if you graduate from high school, you may not have picked up on a lot of things. Hopefully you did. But at least when you leave here, you're going to learn how to vote, or how the normally accepted practice of voting as prescribed in statute tells us that we shall vote whenever we participate in that exercise of liberty and freedom every 2 years or every 4 years or in the intermittent elections in between. So that's my intent, that's my interest, is that we establish the concept and then we ask the agency, the appropriate agency, which would be DOE, to promulgate the rules and how they do that. So, for example, I could envision that when the class elections take place, that maybe there could be, that they would use that opportunity to establish a voting system in which the kids would be able to vote for their choice for class elections, whether it's secretary, treasurer, president, vice president, or maybe it's the homecoming king and queen, the prom king, queen, all that stuff. Or maybe it's, you know, just an exercise before the weekend on, you know, or right before the summer takes out on some of the things that everyone's going to do over the summer that's going to help prepare them for the next upcoming school year, some of the things, vote on some of the things that may be best exercise. Or maybe it's a favorite dessert or something like that. But you get the idea in that whatever the voting, whatever it is that would garner interest in voting, that we do so in a way that we're prepared to do it whenever we get serious about it, and we do it when it's our time each and every election cycle. So that's my interest, and I'm asking for your permission today to move forward in teaching kids how to vote and getting their vote right. Madam Chair, committee, that's my bill.
I haven't changed my outlook on life yet, but thank you for that. Chairman Drake. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions? There are no amendments. Are there appearance cards? There are no appearance cards. Is there a debate? Any debate? Representative Magrin in debate.
Chair, great. Thank you very much for this bill. This is great. This is what we need to be teaching in school, basics, how to balance your checking account, or I guess ATM account. Now, I don't know very many people use checks. Basic skills of life, and the most important freedom this country has is on voting. And this needs to be taught to our kids how it works. Thank you very much for bringing this to this committee.
Members in debate. Seeing no more debate, Chairman, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Like it was said in that movie, My Cousin Vinny, what he said.
Sometimes those are the best ways to close on things. Thank you for that, Chairman Drake. Yes, Missy, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Ferreira?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Omfroy?
A hard yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
17 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your vote, PCS for HB 469 will be reported favorably. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chairman and members.
Yeah, thank you.
For the hard votes and for the soft votes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Members, now we'll move on to PCS for HB 1227 by Representative Arrington, Guidance Services. Good morning, Representative Arrington. You're recognized to explain PCS for HB 1227.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good afternoon, Chair McClain, Vice Chair Schoaf, and Democrat Ranking Member Bush and members of the committee. Today, I come before you requesting your favorable support of PCS for House Bill 1227, which would require middle school grade students' current personalized academic and career plan to include information on the career and technical education graduation pathway option and work-based learning opportunities, including internships and pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship programs. This bill also expands the current required annual school district parental notification on high school acceleration options to include notification of students and for the info to be presented in a language understandable to students and their parents. The notification would include the following: career and professional academic opportunities, career-themed courses, the career and technical education pathway option to earn a standard high school diploma, work-based learning opportunities, including internships and apprenticeship and pre-apprenticeship programs, along with contact information of a certified school counselor who can advise the student on acceleration, academic, and career planning options. I would like to add that this legislation does not appear to have any fiscal impact. That is a bill, Mr. Chair. Thank you for adding this to your agenda.
Thank you, Representative Arrington. Members, are there questions on the bill? Representative Benjamin, and questions?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The part that says that it has to be in a language that's understandable by the child and the parents, how do we know what that is, and what if it's a language that we don't commonly come in contact with? Why not? And so, in other words, why not just say it'll be published in English, Spanish, and Creole, being the dominant languages that are used in our community, basically?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for that question. Representative Benjamin, I would be most definitely open to that because I completely agree with you that those seem to be our three primary languages. So if that's something that we want to look at, I would be most definitely open to changing that.
Any questions, members? Question? Those are all the questions. There are no amendments. Are there appearance cards? There are no appearance cards. Is there debate? Any debate? Seeing no debate, Representative Arrington, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry. Debate? Representative Woodson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep. Arrington, for bringing this bill forward. It's a very, very good bill, which we know a lot of parents don't know, not just the parents, but the kids themselves, don't know the system if they want to go into a career path as opposed to going to college. They don't know what to do. So bringing this piece of legislation would educate them and empower them to make the right choice for the children. So thank you so much. I look forward to support you on your first bill. Congratulations.
Any debate? All right, seeing none. Now, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you again for adding this to your agenda and your assistance with improving my original draft. Additionally, I also wanted to thank Chris Sanchez for her assistance as well. I know the team worked hard to include my original intent. Members, I ask for your support and vote yes today to help our students better prepare for their future by knowing all the opportunities available to them.
Representative Arrington, having closed on her bill, Missy, will you please call the roll?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher? Gia Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Pomfroy?
Yes.
Rizzo?
A well-guided yes.
Schoaf?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yeah.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Members, by your vote, let House Bill 1227, PCS for HB 1227, will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Arrington. Members, we will now move on to House Bill 157 by Representative Hawkins, physical health requirements. Representative Hawkins, you're recognized to explain HB 157.
Good afternoon, Chairman McClain, Vice Chair Schoaf, Ranking Member Bush, members. Mr. Chairman, before I present, there is a strike all in this bill. Would you like me to do that now before I introduce the bill?
Go ahead and just go straight to the strike all. That'll be fine.
The strike all is very simple. It just amends this bill to the Senate bill, doing away with the EKG language.
Okay. Members, are there questions on the bill, on the strike all? Any questions? All right, seeing none. There is one. Oh, the amendment was barcode 952275. Members, we're actually on the amendment as a strike all. Do you have any questions on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment? All right, show the amendment adopted without objection. We're back on the bill as amended. Are there appearance cards? Thank you. Nancy Stewart, Federation of Manufactured Homeowners of Florida, waves in support. Edward Kosick, Every Second Count CPR. Edward? You're recognized.
Hello. Like a light switch you turn off, like a blink of an eye, that's how fast sudden cardiac arrest strikes. Hello, my name is Ed Kosick. In March 12, 2019, I was having lunch at a Chick-fil-A in Boynton Beach, Florida, and I collapsed and died on the floor of that Chick-fil-A restaurant. I had no heartbeat, I had no pulse, I was turning blue and purple. The manager came out and yelled, if anybody had no CPR, and mind you, there was 40, 50 people there, and only one person came running out of the kitchen, a young high school girl who was cooking French fries, came on and started hands-only CPR for about 7 minutes. The paramedics arrived, they shocked me 4 times, and by the grace of God, they were able to bring my heart rhythm back. What that young girl, high school girl, did was kept my vital organs going. She kept my kept the blood and oxygen, so I survived. That young girl, my Sarah, saved my life. People ask me, you know, go on with your life, Ed. You know, you were lucky, you know. But when I realized there's 1,000 people a day that die of sudden cardiac arrest, and 20 of those kids every day are kids under 18, it just breaks my heart. And I wanna be a voice for those kids and people who cannot be here. So to me, this bill is a no-brainer. There's 40 other states that have a similar type of law like this, and they feel that it is of good use. And why wouldn't we wanna teach our kids a life-saving tool they'll have the rest of our lives? So come on, Florida, let's save some lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kosick, and certainly we're glad you're still with us and able to testify to that. Thank you. Next up is Joe Cobb. Mr. Cobb, be recognized.
Thank you. Chairman McLean, members, thank you for actually taking up this bill. My name is Joe Cobb from Winter Garden, Florida. There's a lot of things about last year I would like to forget. COVID obviously was a distraction or disruption for everybody. I turned 50, and of course that was 6 days later, my perfectly healthy 20-year-old son, baseball player, collapsed in front of me at work. He suffered a sudden cardiac arrest, or also known as SCA. When they called me and said that he had passed out, I ran to him. He had no heartbeat, turning blue, and brain telling him to gasp for breath. His coworker, Jordan, had started CPR. He had graduated from the criminal justice program at UCF a few months earlier. I did the only thing I knew at the time and kneeled beside him and prayed. And eventually, his Uncle Walt took over doing CPR, each compression sending blood through his system. The paramedics arrived, and the first thing he said was, "We have an overdose," only because they are not familiar with SCA as much as they should be. They shocked his body a couple times and took him to Advent Health. Put him in an induced coma, and froze his body to a hypothermia state. They said he had a 50% chance of making it. Thank goodness he was on the right side of the 50. He woke up a few days later. They called us on our cell phone and said he was starting to wake up. We could not be there because of COVID restrictions all night. As soon as we arrived, he recognized us. And all we could hear from the nurses and doctors was he must have had good CPR. That was all they said. And yes, he did. He is here today. Not here today, he's at work. He wanted to come, but he could not. But he is with us today because of CPR. Please look at this bill and pass it. I appreciate all y'all's time. He also wanted to say thank you, Chairman McLean, for bringing this to the committee. I want to thank you, Mr. Hawkins, for actually sponsoring this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cobb. Next is Evan Ernst. Evan Ernst.
It's a bad day to wear glasses, a little foggy. Thanks for having me, though. Thank you to the chairman. Thanks to the committee. I want to share a little bit of our testimony. It really doesn't get more full circle than this for me. Behind me stand a few women who lost their children, who a decade ago helped us start Who We Play For. I'm a kid that stood by my teammate at Cocoa Beach High School and didn't know CPR as he died of cardiac arrest. I'm a kid who watched my best friends run through a high school looking for an AED. I'm a kid who tried to make sense of how a sports physical will miss 96% of heart conditions, but in other countries, 90% of heart conditions will be caught, and sudden cardiac death, like in Italy, has been reduced by 90%. In our country, since Italy introduced that policy in 1982, we haven't reduced sudden cardiac death by one percentage point. Not one percentage point. It's the leading cause of death in all of children. It's the leading cause of death in the entire school system. Not even close. And it's the leading cause of death in all of America. We haven't spent $1 as a legislature since the beginning of Florida on preventing that issue. And this bill will not cost the taxpayers $1. And one day we'll come back and we'll continue to work with you and we'll celebrate you every single step of the way as we make CPR standard of care for the state of Florida and heart screenings in the future. There's a generation of kids like our teammate Rafe who didn't get to grow up. There's a generation of communities who walked their teammates in their jerseys with their cleats on in the casket down their family's church and buried their teammates like we did with Rafe in Cocoa Beach High School soccer field. Every single district in the state of Florida, this is a problem with, and we celebrate and we honor you and we thank you, Mr. Hawkins, and the co-sponsors of this bill as we work together to save a generation of kids. Thank you all.
Thank you. Sean Seema. You're recognized.
Thank you all very much for giving me a few minutes. You probably recognize my name because I blow your emails up nonstop. you know, I'm here. I'm a retired Air Force officer. I'm a 22-year medical provider. I've seen tens and thousands of patients in my career. I was living the American dream.
Mr. Seema, I need for you to keep your mask up.
Oh, yes, sir. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you.
I apologize.
No, it's okay. Thank you.
I was living the American dream. I live down in Melbourne, Florida. I have a wife and two kids. 2016, my beautiful, healthy daughter that's good at everything, I hate her sometimes, decided she was going to go to the gym one night. She never had one medical problem, 5'9", beautiful. And about 20 minutes later, I get the phone call that no parent ever wants to get. And it's basically, is your daughter the pretty blonde girl with the knee brace? Yes. You need to get here. This is not good. So the last thing I thought about was that my daughter was dead on the floor of a gym. I was thinking a knee or an ankle. But I arrived to that gym to see my daughter's lifeless body on the ground. And because somebody was forced to take CPR for their job, I live in middle-class America, and I say that for a reason, because I'm going to circle back around to that. This gentleman had just taken CPR and he watched my daughter die on the ground and he knew what to do. Because he took CPR, he did chest compressions and they used an AED on my daughter. 10 minutes before the ambulance got there, my daughter had life. I didn't know this. I beg God, you're going to hear this a lot. I beg God to please give us a chance and I would try to do something. And today, you guys are part of that something that I want to do. Because I've already said, I'm a 22-year medical guy. I'm the guy that's doing these physicals that are clearing our children to go take the fields and play sports when they're really not protected. But we're talking about CPR. And CPR saved my life. I did not know that Florida, one of seven states in the country, is in the top five of all causes of death that are treated with CPR. Cardiac arrest, drug overdoses, drownings, lightning strikes are all treated with CPR, and we're in the top five in every category, but yet we're one of the states that won't give 1 hour to train our kids. And I saw the fiscal impact that's stated that is not correct, and I welcome the opportunity to talk to you. The numbers that are in there, I'm a medical provider. I have to have advanced cardiac life support. It doesn't cost $350 plus equipment. That is not right. If we could circle back around to that, I'm going to clear up. I just want to say there's nothing that you can pass in our school system that's going to mean more. And if you don't remember anything I say, remember this. 7 out of 10 people are going to die at home. You have 3 to 5 minutes to do something, i.e. CPR. The national average for that ambulance to pull up to your house is 7 to 14 minutes. Do that math. Hold your breath for 7 minutes. You're going to either have brain damage or you're going to be dead. 1 hour. 47,000 people died in Florida in 2019, and the numbers are going to be astoundingly much higher from cardiac death. 45,000 people died from cancer. If I told you with 1 hour in a classroom, your kids' hands could save 30% of cancer deaths in our state, would you pass that law? If I told you if you add an AED, and you could look this up, that you could save 50% of cancer deaths in Florida, would you pass that law? I've done the research. There's 55 children on our committee today. You guys are fruitful and you've multiplied. Think of those children. Your children are my children. I never thought in a million years my kid was going to drop dead from a heart problem. Never mind my family member. That's what's at stake today. And as we move forward, please don't trust that fiscal impact that you have. I know better. I've looked at it. Thank you. I know I'm about to probably get the hook here. I really appreciate you guys, and thank you for battling to save lives. This will be your legacy one day. I don't care how many bills we pass. I looked at my daughter dead on the ground. You're going to hear from people who've lost their kid, and this bill is very important. African Americans are 2 to 3 times more likely to die from sudden cardiac arrest, and they're 50% less likely to get CPR because of education. I grew up, there's Jacksonville people here. I grew up in 32202, 150 yards from the front gate of the Jacksonville Jaguars. If my daughter died in my neighborhood, there's a 50% chance less likelihood that she would be here today. Thank God I made it out, and I live in middle class USA where a man had to take CPR. And he saved my daughter. Please, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Seema. Martha Lopez Anderson. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and committee members. I come before you first and foremost as a mother, and secondly, as the executive director of Parent Heart Watch, the national voice solely dedicated to the protecting youth from sudden cardiac arrest and preventable sudden cardiac death. My seemingly healthy son, Sean, never missed a day of school and never missed a well checkup. One moment, he was having a fantastic time rollerblading in the sidewalk in front of our home, and the next, he was laying dead on the sidewalk. Those that witnessed his collapse thought that he was having a seizure. Because of that, they stood back and did nothing. CPR was delayed. Paramedics did not arrive for more than 10 minutes later with an automated external defibrillator. It was too late. Sean's heart was shocked, but it just quivered. John was declared brain dead at the hospital because his brain was deprived from oxygen. So the real tragedy is, by the way, he was just 10 years old and had had a well child checkup a month prior. And the real tragedy is that Sean's death was preventable. How? By having a simple cardiac screening, an EKG, would have detected his condition and would have prevented his death. Or by those that had witnessed his cardiac arrest knowing CPR, and that would have kept oxygenated blood going to his brain. Sadly, that didn't happen. 17 years, 1 month, 15 years, 15 days later, I still have a knot in the back of my throat and a gaping hole in my heart after losing Sean. Hence, only CPR and AED can triple, let me say that again, can triple one's chance of survival from sudden cardiac arrest. During kids' years in school, they are taught about stop, drop, and roll in the event of a fire. Just say no to drugs. Don't drink and drive. Most deaths from sudden cardiac arrest can be prevented with rapid response and treatment. Sadly, as it was stated before, the sudden cardiac arrest survival rate has remained stagnant for over 3 decades because people aren't prepared to save a life. And so that's why we need kids to learn life-saving skills that are in House Bill 157. Call, push, shock. When a person is unresponsive and not breathing, that's call 911 to get help on the way. That's push hard and fast on the center of the chest to keep oxygenated blood going to the brain and other vital organs, and shock to restart the heart's normal rhythm. Given that amended bill, House Bill 157, has been stripped of EKG screening, which would have helped protect and save young hearts from sudden cardiac arrest, I respectfully ask that you vote in favor of House Bill 157 to create the next generation of lifesavers. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am, and I'm sorry for your loss. Taffy App. You're recognized.
Thank you. My name is Taffy Apt, and my son, Michael Jr., died of cardiac arrest at the age of 12 on the playground in his school, surrounded by his friends. Since then, I've learned that the American Heart Association estimates 19 children a day die in the United States from sudden cardiac arrest, and that as many as 85% of them may have been preventable if that child had had an EKG. Be aware, sudden cardiac arrest in children is not rare. My son seemed healthy. He played Little League baseball, and he loved skateboarding. He played a bass guitar in a band that did fundraisers for the American Heart Association. He had a physical every year, well checkup with his doctor, and they use a stethoscope to check his heart. They never did an EKG. No one ever suggested it. When we put him in sports, we had to sign a release waiver, like all the kids do, to participate. And in the very last line, in very fine print, is a suggestion to parents to get their children an EKG. It's not mandatory, but I sure wish it had been, because I definitely would have done it. Cardiac arrest is the leading cause of death on school campuses. And the number one killer of our student athletes. Our family started a foundation to try and prevent tragedies like ours from happening to families like yours. We support any CPR education, anytime, anywhere, and Florida needs to get on board with this. We're one of the few states left that doesn't have this. We also support placements of defibrillators and EKG screenings on youth, heart screenings. By supporting this bill, 157, making just a few hours of hands-only CPR education available on a DVD should be part of our high school graduation requirements in Florida to teach the next generation to save lives. The original version of this bill that Mr. Hawkins, Representative Hawkins put out had EKGs for athletes in it. And he has said, because we had to strike it, that portion of it, that he and Representatives Fine and McLean would revisit it next year. So I'll keep coming back because I don't want to see more children die. I'll come back every year and tell my story until this legislation on EKGs gets passed. And in the meantime, I hope and pray that none of you lose a child you love to cardiac arrest. Thank you for hearing me. Please support this bill.
Thank you for your testimony, and I'm sorry for your loss. Those are all the appearance cards that we have, members. Is there debate on the bill? Is there any debate? Representative Woodson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Rep. Hawkins and Rep. Busata Cabrera. I really appreciate you bringing this bill forward. Thank you to all the men and women who came forward to tell their stories. I commend your strength, your courage, and I'm sorry for what you had to go through. House Bill 157 is a no-brainer. I want you to know that I hear you, I see you, I understand you, and I want to do the right thing by you. Colleagues, let's do the right thing by passing this much-needed mandate. Thank you so much.
Representative Omfroy in debate. Thank you, Representative Woodson.
Thank you very much, Chair McLean. I'd like to thank you for allowing this to be heard today. Thank you, sir. Representative Hawkins, thank you. I didn't respond to your text message because I didn't get a chance to read the bill until later on. But I did have the pleasure of standing in the elevator with these ladies and gentlemen. Had no idea they were coming to this committee. I know I look different in my committee picture. but I thank you so very much for sharing your stories and for educating us on the impacts of this great bill. And I look forward to supporting it. And once again, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Harding.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to echo my colleagues, and thank you, Representative, for this good bill. And to those that spoke, your bravery and boldness was on full display. You know, a lot of what we vote on is not always not every piece of legislation we vote on has the opportunity to save lives, and this does. And so I really appreciate you all coming and bringing this bill forward. And to Representative Hawkins, thanks for running this really good bill, and I'm proud to support it.
Representative Barrera, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to thank each one of the presenters for sharing your testimony, your stories. I question whether or not I've been more moved by public testimony than in this committee here today. They were truly powerful, and I'm sorry for your respective losses. This is just an amazing bill. I just want to say that I am not currently trained in CPR training, but after having heard your public testimony, I will promise and commit to taking CPR training for myself, and also admonish all of our committee members and delegation to also take CPR training. So thank you for that, and I will be voting up for this bill.
Thank you, Representative Rizzo. End debate.
Thank you very much, Chair. To everyone that spoke, my heartfelt condolences to everything that you went through and what you've shared with us today. Thank you for coming forward and speaking. Representative Harding, Representative Hawkins, you are a man that truly does value education and youth. And this is a great bill. And I have actually had to perform CPR several times on people in schools, believe it or not. And it is amazing that in a huge school system, such as Miami-Dade, the one that I come from, very few people actually are trained that work in schools. So this is something that's fantastic that you've brought forward. And I commit myself to you to finding ways that we can get the private sector involved to fund EKGs for all student athletes in the future. I promise you that. I won't stop, and I'll work with you to get that moving, and God willing, maybe next year we can bring it up again. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Rizzo. Ranking Member Bush. Oh, Ranking Member Bush and then Representative Benjamin. Representative Benjamin, go ahead. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Representative Hawkins. This is a wonderful bill, because at the heart of this bill, it's about saving people's lives. In the Quran, it says that if a person saves just one life, it's as though they save the entire world. And so thank you for helping to do God's work.
Thank you, Representative Benjamin. Ranking Member Bush.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very brief. Let me just say to Representative Hawkins and to those who have helped to craft this bill, I want to thank you very much for this children-friendly bill. And this bill is going to have a long-lasting effect on children and generations to come. And to those speakers who spoke earlier about their loved ones, I want you to know that I will be voting today for each of those individuals that you spoke of. I'm going to vote for the lady who lost her son, and I believe that was Sean. Sean will receive my vote today. I'm going to vote for the gentleman who spoke about his son. I believe that's in Tampa. I'm going to vote for that father's, daughter. I'm going to vote for her today. I'm going to vote for the gentleman who spoke about his friend who had to go to work and wanted to be here. He will receive State Representative Bush vote today. I understand and I feel your pain. I do. I've had a friend, pastor, friend of mine who had the same situation, and no one in the house, his wife and his kids, did not know CPR, and he died. So I understand where you are. I understand your pain, and I'm going to do whatever I can or join my colleagues from now and next year and years to come to do whatever it takes for every child in the state of Florida to learn CPR. And with that being said, thank you so much for coming and sharing your experiences with us. And I'm looking forward to voting up on this bill.
Thank you, Ranking Member Bush. Is there members any other debate? In debate. All right, seeing none other. Representative Hawkins, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Normally, with the support I've heard, I would just wave close, but I would be remiss if I did not thank Chairman McClain and Representative Fine for their help on this bill and their continued support to help me in the future with the EKG portion. Members, this is this bill's first reading, and we're late in the game in session. I would ask that you contact Representative Fine to let him know that we would like this bill heard further. It was referenced that the staff report talked about a funding that would be part of this bill. We have found an organization called Pro Trainings that does online free training that would train teachers and students that would meet the requirements of what this bill is asking. So I know you've received a lot of communication on this. None of us like to do mandates, but here we're saving lives. We've heard statistics, and I know every one of us would never want to join these families and their organization, fraternity, whatever you want to call it, and the heartache they've been through. It would be my hope that this education would never have to be used by those that learn it. But how gratifying will it be for the ones that learn it and put it to use and save a life if needed? We as policymakers may never hear the stories of how our actions today, if voted in favor, save someone's lives. But I will share with you, when I announced I was running for this legislature, House Bill 157 was not something I had even thought about. But after meeting families in my community, these families, and spending time with them, and so many other families that have been affected, I know that this legislation, legislation like it, I believe is what God led me here to do. So I ask for your favorable support. Mr. Chairman, I close.
Thank you, Representative Hawkins. I'm having closed on his bill. Missy, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher? Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
16 yeas.
Members, by your unanimous support, HB 57 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative. Thank you.
Thank you all. God bless you.
Members, now we'll be moving on to CS for House Bill 849 by Representative Valdez, school absence due to sickness or injury. Representative Valdez, are you going to from there? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair McClain. House Bill 849 allows a school district board to determine other licensed professionals to, in addition to licensed practicing physicians, who may write a note for excused absences. These could include professionals who work with mental health issues, such as certified mental health therapists, psychologists, family therapists, clinical social workers, advanced registered nurse practitioners, and psychiatric nurses. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Valdez. Members, are there questions on the bill? Any questions on the bill? Seeing none, I apologize. Representative Maggard, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for Valdez bringing this to the committee. I do have a question. In the staff, is talking about parental parents' responsibility, and I do appreciate that we agree the relationship between the parent and the student's success is extremely important. But my question is, there at the end, when it says what the absence or sickness or injury can attest to, it says insurmountable conditions. And really my question is, doesn't that already give the right to the school board to make that determination? And do we really need to do the bill? If it's a condition and we're building the relationship between the family, which is important, and the school, if they're already an insurmountable condition, is something insurmountable. So do we really need the bill? And that's my question.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reason why this bill is important, and thank you very much for your question. The reason for this bill, the importance of this bill, is because current law states that it's required that you have a physician, a letter written from a physician to excuse the absence. Given the mental health issues that our children are facing these days, these children are seeing mental health therapists, social workers, psychologists, and psychiatric nurses at times. Therefore, that's why this bill is needed.
Any other questions? All right, seeing none. There are no amendments. Are there appearance cards? There are no appearance cards. Is there debate? Is there debate? Any debate? There's not. Representative Valdez, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I waive close.
Thank you, Representative Valdez. Missy, would you please call the roll?
Representative Zandrotti?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Barrera?
Yes.
Bush?
Yes.
Fisher? Gio Lombardo?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Maggard?
Yes.
Maney?
Yes.
Umfroy?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
Shove?
Yes.
Tuck?
Yes.
Valdez?
Yes.
Woodson?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair McClain?
Yes.
16 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, by your votes, yes for House Bill 849 will be reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Valdez. Representative Schoaf moves we rise, and we are adjourned, members. Mm-hmm.